Good evening. Let's make sure this is working. There we go. He said green go, and I maybe thought he said gringo, but no. I've been in Guatemala for too long. I am so glad to be here. My name is David Rafe, and I'm glad, so glad to be here with you. To be with the group that supports many of the preachers there in Guatemala. And my hope tonight is that I would be able to help you a little bit to understand the work of the men, what their work is, what they're doing. It's one thing to see their picture in the lobby and to say, "Ah, we support these many men," and to see these are their names that I cannot pronounce. Maybe I read the reports once a month, or I know how it is. Many times we don't get around to reading the reports of these men, and so it is helpful sometimes just to have just a refresher of what is going on, especially with what I have some experience in the work that's going on there in Guatemala. Let me just introduce myself again for some of you. I was here, I guess, about a year and a half ago. I appreciate you welcoming me back. But I also wanted to, for some of you who maybe are new, to introduce myself again. My name is David Rafe, and I'll click, here's my family. Amy is over here on the right. She is Amy Smelser, that's her maiden name. Maybe you recognize that. Sophia is over here on the left. Catherine Sophia is 6 years old. Catherine is 5 years old. And Emma is 3 years old. And we have, for the last 2.5 years, we have been living in Guatemala. And we have enjoyed living there and being with the brethren there. Before I get too far, let me just show you where Guatemala is. For some of us, Central American geography was not our forte in high school. And so Guatemala is a small country down here, just south of Mexico. It's a Latin American country, a Spanish-speaking country, like most Latin American countries, a good many of the people are Catholic, but especially in Guatemala, there's a good number, of Protestants and other religions as well. In fact, it was said, and I don't know how they know this, if they've taken a census, but in Guatemala, Protestantism actually has a majority now over Catholicism. Also, there are some Mayan religions that we deal with every once in a while. Some of those religions that were native to Guatemala. I say all of this just to say that we have a lot of work to do there in Guatemala. It is a Latin American country, and like most Central American countries, it has been a country that has been struck with poverty, but it is, don't let that fool you, because the brethren there are rich, very rich, but rich in good works, and they are wonderful brethren with which we worship. Here is a photo. Well, let me just tell you that here in this dot right here is about where I live, in Quetzaltenango, Guatemala. And if you can't say Quetzaltenango, that's okay. Not many people can. Even some Spanish speakers have trouble with Quetzaltenango. But Xela is another way you can say that. That's another name for Quetzaltenango. But I live here in Xela. Here is the church with which I worship on a common basis. You can't really see all the members here all that well. I can't even recognize them on the screen up there. Let me see if Jeronimo is... Now he's not jumping out at me right now. Here he is over on the left. Jeronimo is the man, one of the men that you support there. And I worship with him on a regular basis there in Xela. It is my privilege to be able to introduce to you some of the members, the new members in Christ that we have, especially there in Quetzaltenango. Up here on the upper left, we have a sister by the name of Glendy being baptized. Here is Glendy. Guadalupe is up here in the upper left. Kelly is up here in the top. Jocelyn is down here at the bottom. And here's Carlos being baptized not too long ago. And I don't know how many of you received the reports that I send out. I told a little story about Carlos and about how encouraging his conversion was to me, especially that it was not a story about he talked with one person and through that one Bible study he was made a Christian. Except instead it was a joint effort by many of the Christians there, that Jeronimo spoke with him and Gilmar spoke with him. Several people, by their own ways, were able to be a light and be able to be salt to him, and he was baptized into Christ. And I also said in my report that, but please pray for his wife, Maria, and that she was struggling. She wanted to become a Christian, but there were some family pressures. Because of all of these family pressures, she was not ready to become a Christian. Well, Maria is down here on the lower right-hand corner, and she's being baptized there. Just before I left, she was baptized. These are your brothers and sisters. All of them are your brothers and sisters in Christ. And it is always just an amazing thing to me to be able to connect brethren who, although they are people of different cultures, although they live in different lands and speak different languages, to be able to connect these brethren and say, we're all the same. We're all the same in the sense that we have the same hope and we have the same Lord. These brethren live very far from you, but they are real flesh and blood. Before I left, I think I did this here a year and a half ago as well, but before I left, the brethren have the custom of sending greetings to one another. Before I leave to go to another congregation there in Guatemala, many times they will say, send greetings to such and such congregation. Send greetings to another congregation. And that congregation will send greetings as well back. And so before I left, the brethren there in Quetzaltenango and many of the churches I was visiting, they knew that I was going to come here to the States and visit many brethren. And so they said, saludos a los hermanos en los Estados Unidos. Greetings to the brethren in the United States. So these are your brethren sending greetings, sending their love. They want you to know that they have great wishes for you, and they're praying for you, and I hope that I can do the same for them when I go back, to send your saludos, to send your greetings, and tell them that you are indeed praying for them as well. In 1 Peter chapter 5, and in verse 9, Peter says something interesting just about, he is here informing the Christians to which he is writing about the faith of other Christians. Peter is writing in 1 Peter to many Christians in various places, but he is writing to encourage them in the suffering they are undergoing. And so he tries to encourage them in various ways. But he says something very interesting in verse 9. He says, but resist him, that is, resist the devil, be firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. He says that we can have great animo, encouragement, by just knowing that there are other Christians in the world that are facing the same temptations as we are. It may be that our cultures are different, that our society is different in so many ways. Our way of thinking is so different from here in the United States to people in Guatemala. Well, let me tell you, the devil works in the very same way. And the Bible, the Word of God, as well, works in the very same way. And the battles that we wage daily to stay in a good moral standing before God are the same battles that they are waging there in Guatemala. So have courage. Be encouraged by that you have brethren all over the world, not just in Guatemala, but all over the world. I want to tell you just a little bit about the work that I do there. And I'm not going to spend very much time talking about my work. I'm going to try to spend more time talking about the work of the men that you support. But about 2.5 years ago, my family and I moved there to Guatemala. And the original purpose, I had two goals. One was to learn Spanish very well so that I could use it for to teach and to preach in Spanish. And the other one was, of course, to encourage the work that was already had already begun there in Guatemala. And so, this, by the way, the Spanish is going pretty well. My little kiddos are speaking Spanish better than we are now. My wife as well speaks Spanish. They didn't speak very much Spanish before we got down there, but now they are just rattling off Spanish very, very easily. And we've been very pleased with the opportunities that we have had to be an encouragement to the brethren. I spend most of my time teaching with the brethren there in Quetzaltenango. This is the meeting place there in Xela. And this is a number of the brethren who were there. It looks like a Sunday morning. And so for the most part, I am with these brethren here. I do a lot of traveling. I'll talk about that in a little bit. But we have lots of opportunities for preaching, lots of opportunities for Bible study. We meet several times during the week. We meet on Sunday and on Tuesday and on Thursday and on Saturday, four times a week. And I maybe grab one or two of those times, and the rest of those times are left for other men. There are lots of opportunities, and most of the men are able and glad to take in some of the privilege of preaching. Part of the work that I've been doing, that is not me up here, you can't see it very well on the screen, but this is a young man named Henry, who is actually, he's the son of Jeronimo, the man you support. Henry has been very excited to learn about preaching, to learn how to teach. In fact, several of the men, here is Marco, another one of Jeronimo's children, and he and I sat down one night, and I'm not sure if this was 2 o'clock in the morning or 3 o'clock in the morning when my wife took this picture, but he had a lesson that he wanted to prepare, and so he came to me and he said, I want to know how to prepare this, how to present this. And so part of the work that I'm doing there is some biblical teaching, a lot of biblical teaching. But there's also a lot of my focus has been on training other people to do the work there. Henry and Marco, Andres. I have maybe about 5 people that have come to me, and I'm working with them and showing them how to do this work. They're very, very excited, very ambitious to go ahead and do this work. The more and more they have interest, the more and more I have as well opportunity to travel in Guatemala and visit other places and encourage other brethren in other congregations. I want to talk to you just a little bit about the work of the 5 men that you support there in Guatemala. But before that, I want to familiarize you with the geography a little bit. I'm not going to spend the whole time on geography, but just talk about some of the major roads that run through Guatemala so it makes sense that why there are churches in certain places. This is Guatemala, and I'm going to take the majority of the population of Guatemala is inside this red square, red rectangle. Up here in the northern area, there may be more cows than there are people. It's very unpopulated. There are large expanses of fields. The majority of the population is down here on the southern part of Guatemala, especially in this area right here, which that would be Guatemala City. Guatemala City, I'll flash this up, and this is where I had that red rectangle, and now I've just blown that up and drawn a different map. Guatemala City is over here on this large yellow circle. Quetzaltenango, where I work and worship, is over here on this smaller yellow circle. Those are the 2 largest cities in Guatemala. Guatemala City has a population of about 6 million. Quetzaltenango has a population of about 300,000. So there's a huge difference in the population difference, but those are the 2 major cities in Guatemala. And then you'll have two roads that connect those two cities together. You have a road that goes through the highlands up here on the north, and then this one goes down by the coast. It's kind of far removed from the coast, but the coast actually starts right here, right just north of this highway, just about right here, begins the volcanoes. Volcanoes and mountains, that it's amazing how extreme it is. You go from two extremes, from a coast right here to 8,000 feet in Quetzaltenango. So it's a great extreme. The Christians that live up here, they live in what they call La Tierra Fría, the cold earth or the cold lands. On the coast, they say La Costa, the coast. And so I am one of the brethren that now lives in La Tierra Fría. And it is difficult sometimes for the brethren on the coast to come up to the cold lands, because they say it's too cold. And then when we go down to the coast, we complain about the heat. So just something interesting. So up here, this is all just so, so mountainous. And because of all these mountains, it becomes very difficult to travel from one place to another. Very, very, this right here, as the crow flies, from Quetzaltenango to Guatemala City is a space of about 40 miles. Just 40 miles. So maybe from here to, Birmingham or something like that. Maybe not even that. I don't know my Alabama geography, I'm sorry. But 40 miles is not a very long distance, but it takes us 5 hours in order to drive that distance, going either through the La Tierra Fría or coming down. There's a highway that comes down here to the coast, and then we can take that highway all the way over here. The black dots. Now I'm going to tell you what these represent. The black dots represent the men that you support, and the green zone, I'll call it, is somewhat of the area where they have had their major influence. For instance, Jerónimo lives up here in Quetzaltenango, but that's not the only area that he has been an influence. He also spends a lot of time going to Piedra Parada, or going to San Marcos. And it is just amazing how many, you go to any different congregation up in this area, and they'll ask you, well, how is Jerónimo doing? How is Jerónimo doing? And they'll tell you the story of how Jerónimo came, and how he was the one to teach many of them the gospel, or how he was the one that would come to help them come out of some of the liberal doctrines that they had. He has a very, very good reputation, and so do all of the men that you support. Here is where José Humberto lives. Let me tell you about José María Koch, who is the brother in the flesh of Jerónimo. He lives right over here, and I'll tell you about, he's changed locations, and I hope to tell you just a little bit about his work later on. But he is living over here. This is the area where he has been working as well. Well, his son-in-law, José Humberto, you also support, lives right here, and he is working with several congregations in this area as well. Ricardo Ventura, I did not draw a zone for him because he is all over the place. I find him everywhere in the country, and I don't know how he does it. He does not have a car. He does not have a vehicle like some of the other preachers do. But he is all over the place. He will travel down here to Champarico. He will travel all the way over here to Puerto Barrios. He will travel. He does a lot of traveling. If you want to wear yourself out, try to tag along with Ricardo. He is amazing to me. I'll talk a little bit more about him later on. His brother in the flesh, Francisco Ventura, he lives here. He actually lives in Guatemala City or on the outskirts of Guatemala City. But the church with which he worships is a small village named Sumpango. But he also worships and encourages other congregations in the area. So there are five black dots. This one, and this one, and this one. And I'm going to try to take you through very quickly just some of their pictures, some of their stories, some of their what kind of work they're doing. We'll start with Francisco. Francisco Ventura. These men, the four of them, not including Jose Humberto. No, Jose Humberto is right here. These three especially were converted about the same time. Francisco is actually one of the ones who helped Jerónimo and who helped Jose Maria to become Christians. Jerónimo had been living there in the capital, and by different connections, he came to know the gospel, and he started meeting in the house of Francisco Ventura. And so Francisco Ventura was a big aid in order in gaining Jerónimo and Jose Maria to the gospel. However, they also had some practices in the church where Francisco was preaching, some institutional practices, and Jerónimo learned about that, and he was able to explain that to Francisco. So it's an interesting relationship that Francisco helped Jerónimo and Jose Maria see the light as to what is the gospel. And then Jerónimo and Jose Maria were able to bring Francisco to the truth about some of these institutional practices of other congregations. But Francisco is one of the older members of the church in the Guatemala area. Let's see if I can get a picture of him. This is Francisco and his wife, Yolanda. They don't have any children. They do have a parrot, which is practically their child. And they treat him they even take him to worship services with him sometimes until the brethren were complaining about that. So they left him outside in the car. This is another sister who lives in Guatemala City. But this is Francisco's house. And they travel, I think it's about 30 minutes, maybe 40 minutes, out to the work, which is in Zumpango. This is the church that meets there in Zumpango. And they're right in this picture, they were meeting in the house of one of the sisters. They have since built a church's a building, and now they're meeting in a fairly large building. And from what I can tell, the church is growing well there in Zumpango. And then Francisco, of course, he works as well, visiting other congregations in the area. So that is Francisco. Let me tell you about Ricardo, just a little bit. This is Ricardo Ventura. He, as I understand, was a military man. When I have met with him and talked to him, some of that it kind of shows through. Just that he is a very disciplined man and a very very go-getter. He has lots of energy, runs, I don't know if he runs daily, but he runs very often. But he is running all the time, especially through the complicated bus system that we have in Guatemala. But this is Ricardo Ventura. This is the brother in the flesh of Francisco. I don't get to meet with him very often. Here is Doug Bain. Maybe you know him. This is Ricardo and his family here. One of his sisters. That's mine. Here's Doug Bain. I don't get to meet with Ricardo sometimes when I go to Chicacao, he is not there because he is visiting other congregations. I just have to say that he's a very hard worker. He's doing a lot of good with the time that he is given. There is the church building there in Chicacao where he lives. Ricardo lives on this left hand side, and the church meets in this building right here. They have a problem right now that the building where they are is just not big enough. And so they're balancing some ideas of what they're going to do, where they're going to move. Chicacao, buying land in Chicacao itself is going to be very expensive, and so they're considering several options. But I just say that to tell you that the work there is growing. I've been very impressed with the work that he has done, but then also the work that the members of this congregation are doing. That they are out, even when Ricardo can't go with them, they are out in the community and they are evangelizing, knocking doors, doing all sorts of stuff. I've been very impressed with the church there. Jose Humberto lives here. He lives in Rio Bravo. Jose Maria Koch, he lives in a city called Palin. And I was going to tell you just a little bit about what has happened with this situation. I don't know what Jose has sent to you, but I'll just refresh you. This is Jose's family right here. In fact, Francisco Ventura was with us on this occasion. Doug Bain was with us, and there's Catherine again. I didn't notice her. This is Jose Maria. This is William, his son-in-law. This is Jose Humberto, his other son-in-law, and he has begun preaching as well. And he is preaching in this area right here. This is Rio Bravo, but also he is visiting several congregations in the area. I don't know him very well, but what I understand is he's doing a very good work. Jose Maria was worshiping there with a group there, but as he noticed that there were more and more workers there in Rio Bravo, he felt like he could go away more and more, and in fact, a church here in Palin requested that he move, and he turned them down several times. He said, no, there's too much work to be done in Rio Bravo, there's so much things I need to do here, but as you can imagine, with several circumstances, he made the decision to go ahead and help out with the church here in Palin. Before, there was no church meeting there in Palin, but he moved there and started working with the group. Here is his family now in Palin. This, by the way, I don't know how many of you have heard news about Guatemala and the volcanoes that have been erupting. This is she right there. That is Pacaya. That erupted, and so you can see that it's in direct view of Jose Maria's house. Just as a side note about the Christians there in Guatemala, Guatemala did receive a lot of rain from the tropical storm Agatha. It also received a big blow from Pacaya, which erupted right here and sent ash all over this part of Guatemala and shut down the airport, and it was just a big mess. But then after that, they were kicked while they were down with the tropical storm Agatha, which dumped tons and tons of water all over Guatemala. But the place that was especially hit was this area right here. Most Christians with whom I have spoken with are doing fine, especially Christians who live up in the highlands. They're doing fine. There are some Christians down here who I've heard that they've not been able to travel as much as they would like to because roads have been closed. But this area, especially the road right here, has just been closed down. Also, several Christians in this area have lost their houses and whatnot. Some of their crops have been taken away. In any case, do pray for your brethren there in Guatemala and. They ask for your prayers. But Jose Maria is living there in Palin right now, and he started this church with the help of some other members. This is where they are meeting right now. They were meeting in a smaller building, but they outgrew that one, and now they're meeting in this larger building. This is the church there, meeting on a Sunday morning. It's somewhat deceiving, the number of Christians that there are here. That there was some trouble with another congregation up north of Jose Maria. And because of this, there was somewhat of a division. And some of the members there came down to Palin to start worshiping with this congregation. And so that's part of the reason for the quick growth that they've experienced there. I have to say that I'm very impressed with Jose and his reaction to that, his attitude about that. Many people would want to say, yeah, sure, bring them on. We want more numbers. But instead of doing that, he is going to figure out how to resolve some of these problems, to try to send some of these members back. He is not looking to gain members to his small group, but he is looking to gain members to the body of Christ. And so that says a lot about Jose and the purpose of what he is doing. He is not doing anything to gain the glory of man, but he is doing all of this for the Lord's kingdom and his righteousness. I wanted to say just a moment, as a result of Jose moving over here, Jose Humberto, the son-in-law of Jose Maria, is now taking over a lot of the responsibilities that Jose Maria had previously. And so there are several congregations in this area over here, several congregations to the south as well. There's plenty of work for him to be doing. But to what I understand, he is doing a good work. And now Jeronimo Koch. I know this individual, this brother, most of all the brothers that you support. Jeronimo has been my constant companion since I have been there. Since 2006, I have known him, and we've kept up with correspondence, and then we moved there in 2007. He is a wonderful brother and has a keen mind for teaching the gospel. He is one of the elderly brethren there in Quetzaltenango. I think maybe he's in his 50s. And the brethren there just call him the old man. In fact, they look at me, I'm 29 years old, and they don't let me come to the young people's class anymore. I was offended. Most of the brethren in Quetzaltenango are very, very young, 25, 22, or younger. And they also have, if you can see from the picture, they also have plenty of children. Here is Alba and her three children right here. Most of the families there have many children, and so it is a young group spiritually speaking, but also a young group physically speaking, age wise. And so he is a rock for the brethren there. Everybody looks to him for his great wisdom. There is another man there that maybe in his 50s, or actually two men there that are in their 50s, but they are less old as far as spiritually speaking. Jeronimo has been a Christian, I think, since maybe since the mid-80s. And so and maybe that's not a long time for some of the people here, but that is a long time for people in Guatemala. This is his family here. He has a growing family. Magnolia, Glendy is his. Is his daughter-in-law. She was baptized recently. Here's Henry, who has been preaching more and more. Marcos has also been preaching more and more. And this is Guadalupe, Jeronimo's daughter-in-law. She was also baptized recently. Here's Paola, his youngest daughter. Hipólita, his wife. And this is the mother of Guadalupe. And this is Jeronimo. He has a very, very nice family, a very godly family, which is saying a lot for really the society there in Guatemala. And this is really a testimony to the work that he has done. It is a church that started out with just a couple families in the early 90s, but has grown to be, right now we have about 70 in attendance, 35 adults, 35 kiddos, which makes that Bible class fairly challenging. My mom was there on this occasion. My parents were. They're not part of the congregation, but they are. Those are the brethren there in Quetzaltenango, and I can't tell you enough that the friendship that I have had with Jeronimo has been exceedingly helpful for my own work there in Guatemala. As far as opening doors to other congregations, he has been exceedingly helpful. I did not Photoshop that he is that short. Let me say something as well, that the church here may not understand the amount of impact that you have made in the small country of Guatemala. maybe you don't understand the amount of preaching that has gone on because of the relationship that you have with these men. These are five men. Jose Humberto has really just started out with the work that he is doing. I think maybe he is in his 20s. He's a young man just starting out in the preaching. But these other men have been working for several years, and because of their work, I'm just going to try to put these are all the churches with which I have had some type of relationship since I have been there in Guatemala. But these are churches that have had some sort of, Jerónimo and Francisco and all the men that you support have had impact on these places and these churches. They were the men that really started off a ball that would go and continue on by itself. As far as bringing a lot, there are a lot of other churches there that do have some institutional practices that I could not recommend, but all of these churches here are good practicing New Testament churches that I can recommend. It started out with just a handful of men, but because the church here chose to support these men by financially, but then also by the encouragement that you give to them, there are, Guatemala is about the size of Alabama, but now in Guatemala I can count easily up to 30 different congregations that are in existence in some way impacted by the life and work of these men. So I want to thank you for the work that you have been doing there in Guatemala. I want to close by reading a passage from Exodus. And I think this is an appropriate passage to think about when we think about our support of other men in other places. In Exodus chapter 17, or our encouragement of anybody, really. In Exodus chapter 17 and in verse 8, it says that then Amalek came and fought against Israel in Rephidim. So Moses said to Joshua, "Choose men for us and go out and fight against Amalek. Tomorrow I will station myself on top of the hill and with the staff of God in my hand." Joshua did as Moses told him and fought against Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. So it came about when Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. And when he let his hand down, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were very heavy, and so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it, and Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and one on the other. Thus his hands were steady until the sun set. So Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. I think there's just a great lesson here about the encouragement that we can give to one another, isn't there? We can talk about that in reference to what encouragement we give to one another here as a congregation. That I want to encourage my fellow brethren, but I want to remind you as well that you have a relationship, a very important relationship, with brethren in many parts of the world, and through this relationship, you are able to hold up their hands as well to do the work that they are doing. I want to encourage you to take a personal goal to write some of these men a letter. And if they get a letter in English, they know somebody that can translate it. Write some of these people a letter. Write some of these people just a note to say, "Hey, we are praying for you." And I want to tell you what, they will have so much encouragement from those little notes. It is one thing to get a check in the mail, but it is another thing, a completely different story, to get a piece of paper in the mail with a picture that says, "We are praying for you. We pray for your family on Fridays." Our class, maybe a Bible class, our Bible class is praying for the children there or praying for your work. I want to encourage you and challenge you to take this work of supporting men not as just writing a check, but take this work as something personal. That when I put this money in the plate, that I'm sending it to Jeronimo, I'm sending it to so-and-so, and just think about the good that you are doing with your offering. And also take that to the next level, to write notes to some of these men. And I can tell you what, that they will be encouraged and they will do their work more and with more zeal because they know that there are people in the United States that are praying for them and encouraging them in all of their activities. These brethren as well are praying for you. These brethren are thinking about you, and they are encouraged by you. We pray that what we have to do and what we need to do is hold up our hands all over the world, encourage one another, encourage the works where in all of the world, especially these men there in Guatemala. I do thank you for your kind attention and for your patience with my English right now. I'm having trouble speaking English since we've been back from Guatemala. But I do appreciate, I cannot stress enough, the interest that this church here has and the work there in Guatemala and for the work that it has done there over the years. I'd like to just offer the invitation tonight. I know it is the custom here in the States to offer an invitation to anyone who might like to become a Christian. The waters of baptism are always ready. Many times, and especially in Guatemala, people think that, well, you have to go to such and such a place. That place is so beautiful. There's a beach there, and it takes about 3 hours to get there, but it's so beautiful there. Baptism is not about the beauty of the water. It's not about the beauty of any place. It's about obeying God and doing what He says. It's about asking for the Lord for a good conscience through our obedience to Him. If there's anyone here tonight that would like to do that tonight, I know that there are brethren here who are able, who are willing to help you with that. If there's any way that we can help you here tonight, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.